This is Intoxicated Literature.
Hello, and welcome to Intoxicated Literature. I am Daniela Drake.
And I'm Evelyn Crowe.
And tonight we're going to talk about Grave Witch by Kalaina Price.
I actually really loved this book. It's one of my favorite books.
I also love this book. This was like one of those 20 teens books series that came out. Yeah. And it's a very urban fantasy, like fae series.
Yeah. I think it was 2015, I want to say. Like, it's definitely early teens.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's about right. But I really enjoyed it, and I read the whole series, and I couldn't wait. Like, this was back when you had to wait for the books to come out.
Absolutely. So let's do our, like, disclaimers before we get started.
Spoilers. Massive spoilers.
We will ruin the entire book.
Yes. And maybe some of the series.
Maybe some of the series.
Because we get confused.
We get confused what's happened in this book and what's happened in later books because we are intoxicated. It's intoxicated literature. So
there will be swearing.
Swearing and spicy times. Although in this book, there's not so much of that.
No, not so much. But we do sometimes have adult content. So just be aware that is happening. So if you have not read this book or this series, maybe push pause and go read it and come back.
Do that. All right.
Okay. So what are we drinking tonight?
Pixie Brandy.
Which is basically just brandy.
It's basically brandy.
But they do talk about it in the book, so that's why.
I am enjoying it because I'm a big fan of just brandy or whiskey in general. So
that's fair. I think you're enjoying it more than I am. But it was enough to get me intoxicated. So,
which is the only thing we're looking for. So.
That is the goal.
Yes. We have been pre-gaming for a while. So.
We have. Yes. Sometimes our calls just start as just like catching up.
Like sister chats. Yeah. It's been a while for this one. So sorry. Not in advance.
Yeah.
Okay. So the main character is Alex Kraft, and she is a grave witch, which means she has grave magic. Like, she can see, it's so weird how she can see the world through, like, it's, like, rotting. It's so weird.
It's grave sight, so it's, like, what it looks like as it's decomposing.
I would not enjoy that.
No, I don't think I would like that either. And it ruins her eyesight.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't have night vision anymore.
Like, she can't see afterwards. I would really not enjoy that.
I wouldn't enjoy that either. Yeah.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Then there's Death and Phelan. And those are our two, like, love triangle-esque love interest.
I do want to talk about Death a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because he starts talking to her when she's, like, 5.
Yeah, it's a little groomy. It's weird.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. And, like, follows her around. And, like, he does save her life.
Yeah.
And he does seem to really care about her, like, genuinely. But also, I can't decide if he really cares about her specifically or if he cares about the way that she makes him feel.
Like, she can see him and no one else can see him. But she can because of her grave magic.
But, like, when she gets shot, like, there's, like, that whole scene where they're doing, like, like, she's trying to save the soul of the person that wasn't quite dead yet during the ritual, and they somehow transfer powers to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I was reading that scene and I'm just thinking, so does he care about her really or about what she can do for him?
That is the question,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like an icky,
it is a little icky, but, like, it's weird too because, you know, and this is kind of a sign of the times, like 2015. He was hot. Like, the first time I read this,
I was kind of rooting for Death.
Right?
Because you don't really know that he was, you don't really know how icky he is when you first learn about Death. You just see this hot guy in kind of like jeans, like in her, like,
and a tight t-shirt. Yeah. You're just kind of like, ooh, who's this guy? And he saves her life, and you're like, okay.
And Phelan is kind of this asshole.
Yes. He's snarky. He doesn't treat her well.
So you're like, well, obviously she's deaf, because Death is kind of like a nice guy.
Yeah.
But is he the, you know, quote, nice guy?
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Also, I'm not really a big fan of blonde guys.
Really?
Really not. And Phelan is very blonde.
Yeah.
So that's a mark not in his favor.
What is it about blonde guys?
I don't know.
It's such a physical characteristic, they can't help.
I know. It's such a weird thing. But listen, it's not going to stop me. It's just like, I see that they're blonde and I'm kind of like, oh.
I mean, everyone has their checklist, right? But it's just like, Right. Okay, really? That's going to stop you? The blonde hair? Okay.
No, it's not going to stop me. I'm just saying, like, it's like, okay. I guess it's fine. You've got, like, six pack or whatever.
It's funny because I don't go for, like, platinum blonde guys. But I definitely have a thing, like, for, like, the surfer. Because like, we're 40. Like, the surfer dude with, like, the step haircut from, like,
seriously?
The 90s.
Really?
Jonathan Brandis. Like, the whole thing. Yeah.
See, and here I am. I'm like, you've got blonde hair and it's long. You need a haircut. I am not a fan of long hair on guys. Half the time we're watching a show. I'm watching a show with my boyfriend and I'm yelling, you need a haircut! Because I can't stand it. Like, I just can't stand
it. Not too long. I don't want it, like, past, like, their ears. Like, it has to, like...
Okay, that's fair.
Like, the step haircut. I don't know if you know what that is.
I do. I remember Jonathan Brandis.
You have to be a certain age to know what that is.
Sequest, man.
Sequest. Jonathan Brandis and Sequest. Bad haircut.
That is a deep cut.
Deep
for
cut.
Any of you who are in your 40s, you are the only ones that remember that show.
Oh my god. That is such a deep cut. God. Jeez. Fuck. That is such a deep cut.
I know.
Whew. God. Yeah. That.
Yeah.
That haircut.
No, I get it. Okay. That's interesting to me. That is fascinating.
That is a specific look that I would always go for.
Really?
Yeah.
I learned something new about you today.
Yeah. So not like blonde.
Yeah. But like, you know, like bleach, not even bleach blonde, but like
dirty blonde.
Yeah.
They would call it.
Like sun bleached. It's not like bleach. So getting back to the book.
I could keep going on about how, like, you know.
I know. But so there were a lot of aspects about this book that I found fascinating. And, like, one of the things that I really enjoyed was her friendship with Holly and Tamara. Because I think that they just are there for each other. Like, there's no hesitation. They just have each other's backs, which I love seeing. Because so often, way too often, I feel like you see, like, oh, women have to be in competition with each other. And, like, and it's just bullshit. And I'm like, that's not what women do.
Down
like,
with the patriarchy.
Exactly. Exactly. And it was nice, too, because, like, her friends are kind of high up. Like, Holly is an assistant to the district attorney. Tamara is the chief medical officer. Like, she is, like...
Yes.
Or chief medical examiner. Like, she is, like... They're, like, highly placed, like, important government... figures, which I very much appreciated.
Which comes in handy because Alex Kraft, we did not mention this, is a private investigator.
That's right.
So it comes in handy having friends who can be like, hey, we can get you in to look at this body.
Yeah.
That we just got in. It's a little suspicious.
Yep.
You might want to take a look at this.
Well, and her magic is interesting. The Grave Witch magic.
So she can talk to ghosts, and ghosts are like this transient, like they're like memories, right? They kind of like repeat the same thing over and over again because they're like traumatic memories. But then she can also talk to shades, which can tell her how they died, which are very important. Like, and I think they're applicable in court.
This is the first. So in this book, this is the first time that they're able to use her powers in a court case to prove someone's guilt.
Right.
So she makes history.
Yeah.
In this book by being the first one, because magic has only recently returned. And that's kind of like a recurring theme that you see a lot of the time in urban fantasy, especially from this period, like the 2010s, where like this is kind of like a trope that comes up over and over. Magic has come back and there are all these consequences and now you know they're magical beings and like, normal people are really upset about it. Like, it's like, you know. par for the course.
It's all new, so part of this book is figuring out what is what.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
how that all works. So
yeah,
a shade tells the truth. It can't. I don't think it can lie.
They literally can't lie. They're literally just retelling what happened to them.
So she can do that. She can pull a shade out of a dead body and be like, "Tell me how you died. Who was there?"
Exactly. Exactly. I love Alex, though.
She's great.
She's great.
I love her.
She's a no-nonsense, smart, capable person.
Absolutely. And you know, and you learn that she has, like, a mysterious family who is rich, but she's living in, like, an apartment. And you're like, what? What's going on there? That's weird.
And she reconnects with her sister in this book because her sister needs something from her.
Yep. Only calls her because she needs something.
Yeah. So that's a little problematic.
Interesting family dynamic.
Yeah.
So, you know, got that going on. And, like, so you don't know who her father is. You know, he's highly placed. You don't know who he is. You don't know what he is. You just know that he's highly placed. Her landlord is great.
Yes, I love him. Caleb. He's awesome.
I love him. He's a fae. So, like, they live in, like, this place that appeared out of nowhere. It's
folded land is what they call it. Yeah.
It came out of nowhere. It's, like, in Georgia, I want to say, like, outside of Atlanta.
I think it's on the border of Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah. It just, poof, just new land.
Came because the nowhere. Fairies came out and said, hey, we're real. And people were like, oh, what? And then all these, like, random places just appeared because the magic came back.
And that's where she lives. And Caleb is fae, and he owns this apartment she rents out, and he's wonderful. I love him so much.
And she has a dog.
She has a little dog.
PC.
Isn't he a Mexican hairless? Is that what?
Yes. 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 And his PC stands for Prince Charming. Which I love. And the magic gargoyle outside her door that, like, talks to her in her brain.
Oh my god. I love it so much. Oh,
there were
god.
So many little details in this book that I really, 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 really enjoyed.
It just brought, you know, it really kind of wound everything together. Like, magic really is part of this world. She's living in a place where magic is real. The whole thing. It's fabulous. So she is a PI, but she's not, like, serious about it. It's so funny. She's like, I'm a PI, but I hate it.
Yeah. I mean, she only got it because her best friend wanted it.
Yeah. She, like, hates it so much. She has a certification. She's like, oh, okay, I'll do it. I don't want to do it. She gets sucked into this new thing because her sister needs help. But then the FIB, think Men in Black, but fairy. And Phelan comes in because he's the fairy queen's, like, top guy.
Which we don't even know in this book.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But he is.
Yes.
And he's an asshole.
Yeah, he treats her horribly. Like, he's really suspicious of her. She's investigating this crazy magic ritual that nobody else can even seem to see. Like, she sees this dead body that has runes all over it, but nobody else has seen that. Like, they've got these curse breakers that they bring in, and they don't even know that magic has been used. And she's like, what are these symbols? And they're like, what are you seeing? And she goes, are you serious? They're so obvious.
These things on the body, right here. And, like, what things?
Exactly. And, like, someone has literally been body hopping, like, stealing people's souls, which is really disturbing. And, like, yeah, so yeah, it's fascinating, though, because she gets involved into politics, which she doesn't really want, but she can't really help. And, like, it's just like,
it's like a whole thing.
Yeah, it is
a whole thing.
And she has to, like, be in her dad's world, which is just, like, complicated because he's, like, really highly placed and, like, the anti-magic group.
Yeah,
like, he hates magic, and so he's in charge of, like, the most prejudiced group ever.
And, like, all she is fucking magic. And he, yep. And he doesn't want to have anything to do with her. And he's like, oh, God.
Exactly.
So
yeah. But I loved so much about this book. Like, this whole series, I feel like the magic, the world building was amazing. The characters were so great. Like, they were all complex. They were all fun. They were all interesting. The story is fascinating.
You really, I like to pride myself on being able to figure out a story before the end of it. But I couldn't figure this one out.
No, I had no idea what was going on. And I loved that. Like, it kept me guessing until the end. I had no idea what was happening.
Yeah, that was great. So I want to talk about a little bit, because I went on to Goodreads and I was looking at reviews for this. And one of the reviews, and I'm not hating the reader. Readers are allowed to feel however they feel about books. I just want to discuss it as a genre. At the time, I think it was 2015, we have Mary Gentry coming out. There's Anita Blake. The Hollows was coming out. There were a lot of really big urban fantasy series that were coming out like around the same time.
Yeah.
And the critique was that this series had a lot of the same similarities as those other series.
Okay.
And so what I want to discuss is, okay, fair, if you felt that, that's fine.
Yeah.
But what I want to discuss is, what are genre expectations as authors feel pressure to have genre expectations?
Right.
And what are not genre expectations?
I mean, it is interesting because when you think about, like, let's talk about just like generic book talk right now.
Okay.
And how many hashtags reference specific tropes,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, Fated Mates. Let's just throw that one out right there because that's a popular one. There is an expectation within that trope of what you're going to get.
Exactly.
Right? And I think that at that time, this is true of film, this is true of TV, this is true of, like, the publishing industry, they're always chasing whatever the big trend is.
Yeah.
And at the time, in 2015, the big trend was fae, urban fantasy, werewolf, vampire stories. Like, that was kind of, like, the big thing, right? And so this book, I think, checks a lot of boxes in that regard. Like, maybe not werewolves or vampires specifically, but, like, the fae aspect, definitely.
Fae magic.
Yeah, and like I talked about too, like at that time there were a lot of stories about magic coming back suddenly or like returning or
I mean
or
I could whatever. I could say it seems really similar to Alona Andrews.
Right. Like too. Yeah, like her what is her name? Magic Bites or whatever is one of the books. But
for
like
sure.
Like, it's one of those series where it's just, like, magic has come unexpectedly back. It's 50 years since that happened, and, like, we're dealing with the repercussions of it. And that was a very big trend at the time. So do we really get mad about them writing to the expectation of the market?
Because I know, as an indie author, and you're also one, it's like, we're told so often you write to the genre.
To market, yeah.
You write to market. And if the market says these are the, you know, hits that you need to, you know, get to, then that's what you write to.
Right. Yeah.
I would like to say, okay, fine. But also, when you have a market that's flooded.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I found this book to be unique enough on its own.
I think that that's what really sets it apart, is that it was a unique take.
Yeah.
It was a unique idea. I thought that the underlying story that kind of covers the entire series, connects the entire series, was very interesting.
Yeah.
The twists were well done. I very, very, very rarely was able to figure out where it was going, which I very much appreciated.
I mean, I haven't read The Hunters or The Hollows, so I can't speak to those series.
I liked The Hollows a lot.
Okay, so you can correct me if I'm wrong in this aspect. I have read some of The Vampire Hunter by Anita Blake, and I have read all of Mary Gentry. And I can't say, I don't think that these are similar to those at all.
I really don't. I would not. I would say The Hollows is probably the closest, but I still think that they are very different in a lot of ways. So I'm not sure that I would even compare this to another series. Like, definitely not Mary Gentry, I don't think.
Not Mary Gentry at all.
And definitely not Anita Blake. Like, there's not, the vampires are not a huge part of the story, so I'm not.
I mean, this feels like if you were to, it's urban fantasy for sure, but if I were to assign a different genre to it, it would be more suspense, murder suspense, thriller, because it has that aspect of we need to find the killer.
I agree. And, like, each book is kind of its own standalone story where it's like, this is the case that we're working on and we need to figure it out. And there is kind of, like, that overarching, like, her journey, which kind of covers the entire series. But, like, yeah, I'm not sure that I would compare it to, I definitely would not compare it to, like, Anita Blake or Mary Gent. Like, partly, too, it's those series are a lot more spice forward.
Very, very spice forward. Like, Mary Gentry is definitely focused on Mary and her men, for sure, and their journey.
I would say Anita Blake is also, like, the first one, maybe not, but then it definitely becomes that.
In fact, I would actually categorize them more as erotica than anything else.
I agree.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I agree with that review, to be honest.
I would say this is probably more closely categorized towards Alona Andrews. But
I
even
agree.
So, it's not the same story. So, it's
no
different.
Like, there are... So, this is the thing, is that when you pick up a book and it's an epic fantasy, you immediately assume there are going to be big battles. It's going to be life or death. It's going to be, like, world-ending crisis. It's going to be, like, a lot of the times, the chosen one or whatever. Like, you're expecting to see these things,
exactly.
Right? So this is an urban fantasy where you're expecting to see, okay, well, the main character is going to have more power than other people for some reason that we don't really understand. She's going to, you know, have connections into, like, the fae world and, like, you know, the other world that we don't really understand.
Right.
But she's also going to live in this world in an urban setting. Like, these are just things that you just assume to be true based off of the genre.
And that's what readers want. They want that familiarity. They want that comfort. They want to know they can pick up an urban fantasy and that is what they're getting.
Right, like you don't want to expect, I'm gonna watch this romantic comedy and then get a horror.
Exactly.
Like, that is not what you want.
Absolutely. I'm not saying, authors, don't go writing an urban fantasy and changing it all up. That's not cool.
No, okay.
That's not what I'm saying. You can play with tropes a little bit, but the main, like, genre needs to kind of stay the same. And it's okay to not like a book.
100%.
It's okay to not like a book, but to accuse a book of plagiarism is
that's harsh.
Harsh.
Yeah.
And serious.
That's very serious.
Like, that's a serious accusation.
Absolutely.
Like, you could take an author to court for that.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
To say you didn't like a book because it was too similar to other urban fantasies is a valid argument.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
To say that it was middle of the road, it was too similar, it didn't stand out. I get that. That's fine. That's a 3-star read for me. That's a C read. That is fine. That's something I would be like, eh, I read that.
I finished it, but yeah.
But to say it's plagiarism, whew.
Yeah, yeah. That's like going from 0 to 100.
Yeah.
That's not, yeah. That's going from 0 to the final solution. That's no, like...
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we need to do that. So that's really interesting. Because, like, for me, the reason that I really enjoyed this series when I first read it, and on a reread, because I read it again for this episode, like, it was unique enough, and the writing was very good, and the characters were complex and interesting. I really enjoyed it.
I liked it. I thought it stood out from the other urban fantasies.
I absolutely agree. And I read the entire series. Like, this was one where I think I found it, and then I think only two or three books were out at the time, and I read them all, and then had to wait for the next ones to come out.
Yeah.
And could not wait. Like, I was so excited. And every time a new one came out, I was like, oh, finally a new book.
I think the last one came out in 2020, 2019?
Something like that. But I was, again, I was so excited that it came out, even though it was the last one and it meant the series was over. I was like, oh my gosh, but I can't wait to finish the series. Like, it's been so good. And I just really enjoyed it. And I'm not saying that other person does not have valid points or what. Like, if you don't like it, you don't like it.
You don't like it. You don't like it.
Yeah. There have definitely been books that I have not enjoyed that other people really loved. Like, that's just a personal taste. It's very subjective. But for me, I found this book to be very exciting, very interesting. It was a page turner for sure. I could not wait to figure out what was going on because I couldn't figure it out, which for me is a huge deal. Like, I was so excited.
A lot of the urban fantasy at the time, aside from, I think, Alona Andrews, I think she was like the one. I mean, if you don't just, I mean, you have to discount like Mary Gentry and Anita Blake, because they were so, like, that's really erotica at the time.
Yeah,
but like, if you think of, Patricia
Briggs.
Yeah. But like, it was werewolf heavy, a lot of werewolves. But if you discount that, because Twilight was real big.
Yes.
A whole lot of that happening. It was so, like, anti-POC, too. So there was none of that happening in this book.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was no shape-shifting.
Well, I think that's why I like this one so much, is because, like, I have never been a big vampire.
There was no vampires.
And, like, the werewolf thing, I'm kind of like, okay, but it's not, like, a thing that I love. And so to have this one where it really was just, like, and this is why I liked Alona Andrews, too, because it was, like, magic has come back, and there were shifters, but there were, like, all these other...
Yeah.
Kind of magic people as well. And so it was just like a very different, exciting.
And the shifters weren't relegated to just one class of people or one type of person.
Yes.
In Alona Andrews. Which is so important, because it's so common in urban fantasy, especially from that early era. Because it was like the dawn of urban fantasy. In the early 2000s. I'm sure you can find urban fantasy from before that. Like, I mean, I think
but
L.A.
it became
Banks,
a big popular thing in the early 2000s.
Because Buffy the Vampire Slayer happened in the 90s. And it kind of exploded after that. So, I mean, L.A. Banks happened in, like, the 90s. And she was really popular. Again, Vampire Slayer, the whole thing. But then the werewolves happened, and the Omegaverse happened, and, like, fan fiction and stuff. And, like, it just kind of exploded with Twilight and all of that stuff. But one of the real common tropes is, like, the shapeshifters are all, like, indigenous people or something. It's really gross.
Well, and I do think that there is this, like, there is this expectation when you say urban fantasy that there are going to be werewolves and vampires. Like, people seem to expect that.
Yeah.
Which, for me, that's not the urban fantasy that I tend to like. Like, I tend to like this with, like, Alex Craft is, she can raise the dead and has, like, and they can do, like, actual magic, and they have charms, and, like, it's just very interesting to me. What would it be like if suddenly we were faced with magic coming back, and what would the world be like? And, like, that to me is fascinating.
Yeah, which is why, and that's what I wrote about. And then I made the shifters squirrels, because...
Yeah, I know you did. I mean, yeah.
And not just people of color.
That's right. Everyone.
Everyone.
Yep.
Because it's boring otherwise.
And I think that that's partly, too, why I like October Day. And, like, they're just, like... And, yeah, Faye is kind of a recurring theme, which is fine. Like, but... It's just an interesting thing to explore.
The thing with Faye, though, is you can do so much with Faye.
Anything. Yeah.
There's so much lore to pull from.
Absolutely.
With Faye.
Absolutely.
I know, because I just looked into a whole shitload of it.
Yeah.
So.
For your next book coming out.
I know. So just know that you can't. There's so much. So
I think that that's really where we're kind of going awry, is that the expectation for urban fantasy tends to be vampires and werewolves. And then when you don't get it, it's like, oh, it's just like these other books that don't have those things too.
But when you have the vampires and the werewolves, you run into super patriarchal, super clannish, super roar, and you're just like, oh my god, why? Ugh. I don't like it. Not for me.
Okay, anyway. Kalena Price. What else?
That's all. Those are the main.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that's all my notes that I had, like, because this first book is a lot of setup, obviously.
A lot of setup, a lot of world building, a lot of here's who the important players.
Exactly. I did love the bar, which I can't remember the name of at the moment. I don't think I wrote it down. But the Fey bar that she goes to and then, like, loses time because she goes out at the wrong time.
Yeah, it's like an entrance to fairy, isn't it? Or, like, it's an entrance to somewhere and she, like...
It is, yeah. It's an entrance to fairy and, like... The bouncer at the door is like, what time, like, you need to sign in. And then as you leave, you have to leave at the same time. And she was like, nope, we're just getting out of here. And he's like, I don't know. And then it's 2 days later.
Yep. Fucking fairy, man.
But I liked that whole bar because, like, it kind of gives you a very brief glimpse into what fairy is and like the folklore around fairy, because there's so much, like, it is a rich folklore to draw from. Yeah. Like, there are so many stories and fairies and crazy things that happen.
It's true.
But like in this particular thing, it's like the eternal dance where you start dancing and you don't stop, like you just keep dancing until the music stops. And one of the people that had been working at the morgue ends up there, and she finds him, and she's just like, what the fuck are you doing here? And he's like, I was only here for 2 hours, and it's been like 2 years or something crazy.
Yeah. I know, it's nuts. I love it. I love it so much.
And I just really liked that aspect of the world building, because it made it feel realistic, and like, you were in it, and I thought that was really well done. But yeah, the entire series, I very much enjoyed it. I think it's five. Is it five books?
I think it's five.
I feel like it's five.
Yeah.
I feel like it's five. And the last one came out 2019, 2020. I can't remember, but one of those. So it is a complete series. If you want to read it, if you haven't read it yet, I definitely recommend it. I really enjoyed it. And I reread it for this episode because it's been a while since I've read it.
It's been a hot minute.
And I gotta be honest, I still enjoyed it.
It was good. I liked it
a
lot.
I liked it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then, what are we reading next time?
We are reading Taken to Varaxia by Elizabeth Stevens.
Ooh, it's a sci-fi, this one.
Sci-fi. We're going outside the box.
Oh, we are. We don't usually talk about sci-fi.
We're leaving fantasy, going into alien romance.
Oh, boy.
It's a whole different ball of wax. So.
Yeah, I definitely have. I have never read, I don't think I've ever read an alien romance, so this will be a new one for me.
They all have the same kind of things in common, so.
Interesting. Okay, well, I can't wait. And, yeah, I think that's it for tonight. So, I am Daniela Drake.
I'm Evelyn Crow.
And this has been Intoxicated Literature.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Intoxicated Literature. Drink well, friends.